Hear now the inspired word of our God. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 40. And there came a leper unto Jesus, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, or a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Our Lord tells us concerning his word in Isaiah chapter 55, For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. May God bless today not only the reading, but also the hearing of His holy word. Amen. We come to a passage today which is a very interesting passage. Of course, we could say that about every scripture passage. There's so much to unpack, and today we'll just scratch the surface here of a few verses in the Gospel according to Mark. But we're going to meet today with a man who has leprosy. And I want to take the big picture approach to the passage today. We're going to look at the man specifically and about leprosy and talk about some of the spiritual applications in the passage. But we'll also have opportunity to look at the grand story of redemption and of Christ's mediatorial work to save his people. And it's such a wonderful topic as we come to see the great power of Jesus Christ, his perfect priestly work for us, and to see his mediatorial kingship today as well in the passage. So I'd like to draw these truths out for our application today. And I think leprosy has many, there are many helpful things in this passage for us in looking to leprosy itself. And I think obviously many of us have probably never had leprosy, and we probably never met anyone with leprosy. But there are many applications in this passage that are going to teach us about the touch of Christ. What does it mean when we are touched by Christ? And how is it that Christ comes to touch a man with leprosy? I mean, it seems like the wrong thing to do already, right? But Jesus does this on our behalf, and we'll see that it wasn't the wrong thing to do. But the application is that there is so much happening with this touch, and it is involved and directly connected to Christ's mediatorial kingship. And so a lot of applications there for us, I think, that will be very helpful. We want to see first that Christ has prepared for the healing of this leper. We want to see that he is ready to do his work. We're going to look at how the world has been prepared by Christ for his work. That it isn't a random world that we live in, but that everything that we see and touch and everything is connected to the mediatorial work of Christ. We want to see that the world is prepared by Christ, that he is ready to heal. Secondly, we'll see that Christ is willing to heal this leper. We'll see that it is in accomplishing his will, there are many things that Christ has been willing to do on our behalf. We'll see his humiliation in his birth and in his life and in his suffering and in his death. But we see in the passage, what does Jesus say about what he's willing to do? I am willing to touch you. And there's a great spiritual application there for us. And then thirdly, we'll notice the wonderful truth that not only is Jesus ready to meet and heal this leper. Not only is he willing to do so, but oh my friends, today the great excitement from this passage is that Jesus Christ is able to heal. He's able, and that is a great blessing to us. We don't serve a God who is ready and willing, but then can't do anything about it. We serve a great and able Savior today, our great mediatorial King Jesus Christ. So we will notice that great truth that He is able. Let's look first to the application that Christ is prepared to meet the leper. The world itself, in fact, all of the creation itself is part of Christ's kingship. We want to see today that the entirety of the creation is important in the plan of redemption. And sometimes we look, we want to limit the plan of redemption to simple acts involved in salvation. Or we want to look, as we'll see, some folks want to limit the mediatorial kingship of Christ to just the church. We want to make some applications today to show that the plan of redemption is broad and it includes the creation itself. In fact, regarding the mediatorial kingship of Christ, William Symington says in his wonderful book, Messiah the Prince, he says that no doctrine in Scripture is supported by clearer or more abundant evidence than the universality of Christ's mediatorial supremacy. He's talking about his mediatorial kingship. And that's a pretty big statement. There are lots of things that are described and defended in Scripture, but he says that there is no doctrine in Scripture that is supported by clearer or more abundant evidence. That, again, I want you to grasp the weight of that statement. That's a pretty big statement by Symington. In fact, he points to Matthew 28 to defend that statement, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power given unto Jesus. Now, Jesus, as the Son of God, already possessed power over all things by virtue of who he was, his being, who he is. So the passage, Matthew 28 and others that are used in connection with it, they speak of the office of the mediator, the mediatorial work of Christ. It is given to him. So not only is he over all things by virtue of who he is, it's all given to him through the office of the mediator. So there's a twofold aspect in which Christ displays his power. Not only is he God, but he's also doing it, overlaid on top of that is his mediatorial kingship. Now both span to all of creation. And that's, a very big statement that we state in the RPCNA. That's one of our distinctives is a description of the mediatorial kingship of Christ. Symington goes on to say that Christ's investiture with mediatorial authority thus means his having had conferred on him a right to employ the power which he always possessed as God for the specific objects of his mediatorial work. So not only is he God, but he has also earned and been given the right to exercise authority as the mediator. Now, some have objected to our position in the RPCNA that they would say then that Christ's mediatorial kingship does not extend to all of creation. They want to say that Christ's mediatorial work only is limited to the church only. So he's king over everything as God, but just king as mediator over the church and things that relate to the church, which we have stated as part of our doctrines in the RPCNA that is simply inaccurate. The mediatorial kingship of Christ expands to all of creation because all of creation has something to do with our redemption. It's all connected. And we're making this connection to the passage as we're going forward. So this is very relevant in Jesus touching the leper. His mediatorial kingship comes into play. So we want to say then that according to scriptures, the mediatorial kingship of Christ is not limited to the church. It says, the scriptures tell us that all things were given to him. It places all things under his mediatorial control. And so some may ask, an objection they may say, then how does Jesus mediate over trees or mountains? Or how does he mediate in this passage? How is he mediating over leprosy? How does a disease fall into the mediatorial kingship of Christ? They want to say that the mediatorial work is for people. It's for salvation. It's not for things. It's not for the world. It's not for the creation. It's limited to the church. And we would want to say then that that is not in accordance with Scripture. Matthew 28 tells us that all things were given into him in heaven and in earth. Now, Symington again is very helpful here. He says there are many things under the power of Christ besides which are the immediate objects of his purchase. Angels, devils, reprobate men, and things irrational and inanimate are all put under the feet of the mediator. Yet not one of these can be said to have been redeemed by his blood. There are some benefits enjoyed by the wicked of the world, which as they result from the mediatorial economy, may be said to be, indirectly at least, the fruits of Christ's death. Such is the case with divine forbearance, with temporal favors, and with the outward dispensation of gospel ordinances, of which the wicked partake, but which, but for the scheme of salvation, they could never have enjoyed. So see, that work of Christ on the cross impacts all of creation, and the mediatorial work of Christ covers, encompasses all that we see. And that's a grand truth today. As we approach this passage where the leper is touched, it is not simply that God, the Son of God, is touching and healing the man, but the mediator is. And it's a wonderful thing to see, then, as we go through the Scriptures, that Christ is the mediatorial King over all things. Now, we say as much in our testimony. In chapter 8 of the RPCNA testimony, in section 2, it says, Jesus Christ is head over all things for the sake of the church, rules in perfect wisdom and justice over all parts of his creation, including wicked men and devils. He makes them and all their counsels and efforts serve God's glory in the plan of redemption. So, again, a wonderful truth that we can see that not only is the creation at times rebelling against the mediator, but Christ is making the creation work to his glory and our good. What a grand truth that is as we approach our passage today. I want to also say that not only does Christ rule over all of creation, but we're included in that. Christ rules over us. He is our King. So the significance for us today is to see that Christ's precious work has bearing upon our trials, upon our suffering, upon whatever it is that is working against us in the world. Christ is mediatorially the King over that trial. And not just specifically because of who he is in his being God, but also in what he has done as our mediator. You see, that work that he has done on our behalf applies to everything. In other words, I think sometimes what we fall into the error of is limiting that mediatorial work. And we don't always see that it encompasses everything. And I think sometimes that's to our great disadvantage, that we don't see then that Christ on the cross, that Christ fulfilling the commandments of the Father, that Christ in his perfect work on earth has application to everything. Great truth for us today. So we want to see then that the world in which we live is not a random place in which God is attempting to pick up the pieces. You see, you hear that sometimes in the evangelical world, that God is fixing things all the time, and that you hear of the randomness that is in the world. Well, we don't want to see the world that way. We don't want to see the man in our passage who is a leper that just happened to become a leper, or that leprosy really did a bad thing and Jesus comes along and fixes that. But what we want to see is that Christ prepared this man to meet him. And what was one of the things that he used to prepare this poor man for this moment to meet Jesus? What's something that he uses? You see it in the passage? He uses leprosy. So Christ owns leprosy. It's his. It's part of his kingship. And that application is to you and I today, that there is nothing that is outside of his mediatorial work. So what is it today that it is fighting against you? What is your trial? What is your suffering today? And whatever it is, we'll fill in the blank, and we can make the application to Christ's mediatorial kingship. I think this is a wonderful truth because Christ reigns over all things. He prepares everything for His bidding. So as Christ is preparing to meet this man in our passage, He is preparing the world itself. The application for us also is to look around us and to see the world. I don't have to convince you today that the world is a messed up place. I mean, there are all kinds of things happening all around us that are shameful, that are sinful. People rebelling against that kingship. But what we want to see today is that all of it is under His mediatorial control. The creation itself and all the things that we see and experience, they find their unity in Christ. Nothing is out of place. The leper in our story has been prepared to meet this precious touch of Christ. The world's creation and condition belongs to the mediatorial King. So let's talk about the man specifically. His creation and his condition belong to Christ the mediatorial King as well. Verse 40 tells us as much. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Even what the leper knew of Jesus was under the mediatorial control of the King. The Lord has fully prepared this man. He has directed his life and sustained him and brought him to a point to which he can meet Jesus Christ. So can we notice today that the means by which we are brought to our mediatorial King are sometimes very unpleasant. They are sometimes devastating, sometimes apparently dark, sometimes shameful and humiliating. Look at the disease itself in our passage. Where does leprosy fall into the creation? Is it part of Christ's mediatorial kingship? Is it part of His world? It certainly is. We meet in our passage today a deadly and terrible enemy. In the ancient world specifically, leprosy was it meant a hopeless and slow death. It meant being removed from your family. It meant being removed from society. It meant suffering from an incurable and painful disease. Not only that, it was a shameful disease. Look at the Old Testament examples and how they are seen as a mark of God's displeasure. And people viewed it like that. If you had leprosy, well, you obviously did something wrong. You're obviously under God's displeasure. We want to see that today in our time that, we're really smart today. We've done a lot of tests. We figured things out. We're sophisticated today. So leprosy in our day is not so much, in the modern world, it is not so much that terrible thing that it was then. But we want to see that in scriptures, leprosy spanned across cultures and classes. Kings had leprosy in Scripture. Uzziah and Azariah. Naaman was a powerful man and captain of the host of the king of Syria. But the poor were specifically affected. In fact, today we have seen and found that the disease itself, broad range of diseases, but that is caused by a bacteria that was discovered in 1873. In 2005, there were about 300,000 new cases discovered worldwide. And even today, in many countries, leprosy itself still devastates economies. And there are estimated to be at least several thousand leper colonies still worldwide. So even as smart as we are, we're not smart enough. Even in our technology, still leprosy is present and it's in the world in which we live. So it was definitely a deadly disease. It was incurable and it was painful. It was shameful. We want to see today specifically that it was a symbolic disease. Scriptures speak of leprosy in a sense where it represented sin. J. Alexander says that leprosy furnished a symbol of the loathsomeness of sin considered as a spiritual malady. Horatius Bonar says that leprosy is also corrosive and penetrates unseen, almost unfelt, till it has wasted the substance, like sin in the soul, eating out its beauty and its very life, while outwardly the sinner moves about as before. at length. It bursts forth externally too. The man becomes a skeleton and a mass of noisome corruption. So does sin at length deface the whole image of God and every faint vestige of comeliness that was left. And death is the sure end. The Lord sent forth such a disease on earth after the fall to form, it would seem, a type of sin. The workings of the leprosy seem appointed by him on very purpose to show forth sin in all its features. Leprosy then is a terrible enemy. But what we see from the scriptures is that there is an enemy that is greater to us. That enemy is sin itself. And we would say then, I would give you some passages to meditate on for the rest of the day. I'd like you to, if you have time today or this week, to look at Leviticus 13 or Leviticus 14 and Psalm 51. Specifically, very interesting in Leviticus 13 and 14, you're going to read about actions of a priest and looking around on the body of a person with leprosy and looking at sores and scabs and colors and trying to determine if the person had leprosy or if the leprosy was coming or if it was going. And so a person who was not an expert in any kind of medical field was called upon to examine the body and to determine if leprosy was present. And what you'll note from Leviticus 13 is the incredible detail of this examination and the great responsibility of the priest to determine if it was there or not. But what you'll find in Leviticus 14 is even more interesting, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet and hyssop." And there's a procedure laid out for how to pronounce the cleansed leopard clean. What you'll not find in the passage is the priest curing leprosy. Very interesting thing about the law itself is it points to sin. It points to sin. It exposes sin. But it can't do anything about it. It can't take the sin away. And what a wonderful truth this is that we come to the New Testament and we meet our perfect priest. Our perfect priest is not scanning around trying to find out if someone has leprosy or not. Our perfect priest knows. We'll see that as we come to the end. But I wanted you to see here in Leviticus 14 that the procedure is not to heal the leper, but simply to signify that somehow, we've no idea how, but the leprosy is gone. A striking illustration of the limitation of the physical earthly priest. So the symbolism and the hopelessness of this passage shows us that Christ has readied the world for his work. Well, we come to see then that Jesus is willing to do his work. Not only has he readied it, but he is willing. Christ has prepared all things for redemption, and he shows his willingness to save his people. Not only was Christ preparing for his meeting with the leper, but he's also willing to heal him personally. And so we see then all this work that comes up to this point. And sometimes I think I'll make the application before I talk about it. But what it seems like, sometimes we just get discouraged and we think that, well, I guess God's not going to help me today. Or I guess God's forgotten. And we forget all the work that he's already done to bring us to the point to where we are. We forget the fact that Jesus Christ was born into the world, that he came as a man, that he humiliated himself to allow the redemptive plan to be completed. What did Jesus do? He didn't just come as a man. He came in amongst our midst and dwelt with us and understands our infirmities and our temptations and the things that work against us in this world. If he's done all of that, if he's willing to do that, then surely Jesus Christ is willing to heal his people. Jesus was willing to suffer humiliation. I point you to the larger catechism, question 46, for your meditation today. what was the state of Christ's humiliation? The state of Christ's humiliation was that of a low condition wherein he was, for our sakes, emptying himself of his glory. He took upon him the form of a servant in his conception and birth, like life, death, and after his death until his resurrection. So to the child of God today, don't forget that Jesus has been willing all along to bring us and sustain us and to preserve us. He will surely be willing to take our sins upon himself. If Christ was willing to be born and to suffer humiliation, then why wouldn't he heal this man? So Jesus was not only willing to come, not only was he willing to suffer humiliation, but he's willing to heal. Look at verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now, show me anywhere in the annals of human history or anywhere throughout the Word of God two more precious words than these. I will. Jesus says, I will. I will do this. I want to. It's part of my plan. And all you see is the leprosy. But I've been preparing for thousands of years to meet you. I've created the world, and I created everything in it, and I allowed everything to happen to come to this moment today to where I will touch you. But see, did this man know all of that? Isn't it interesting that sometimes we're totally oblivious to all of the work of God around us? We only see our need. We only see that moment. We only see that one thing that we're suffering with. But Christ is willing, and Christ knows. So may each of us today give testimony of that moment when we realized this great truth, that Christ has healed me, that he has touched me. And I pray that you know of that moment, that you remember it, that it's special to you, and that we don't forget the special nature of this touch of Christ to the leper. Now, sometimes Jesus is willing to wait. He is. Sometimes he doesn't desire to heal right away. And sometimes he waits. Let's acknowledge that. If we had more time, we'd go there. But 2 Corinthians 12:7 is a good example of how sometimes Christ waits to remove our infirmity. You could dwell on that today and think of the many strengths that come from having to endure thorns in the flesh. But lastly, let's see that Jesus was willing to touch. And this is a very odd passage today. Something really, really odd happens in this passage. We wouldn't expect at any time up to this point, a priest would never touch a leper. He couldn't. He can't. He's forbidden to. But what does Jesus do? Jesus shows us today his mediatorial kingship. That he can touch a leper. That his authority is so much over sin and over uncleanness that his very touch makes the man no longer even a leper. That it goes away. My friends, today there are so many applications there for you and I. That Jesus Christ loves us. That he comes near us. That he touches that which was unclean. And it's immediately made clean. What an amazing testimony that this is to the uniqueness of Christ, to his superiority over any other priest, doing something that no one else could do. No one else could do this. Only a mediatorial king. And there's only one mediatorial king, because there's only one who is God and man. What a wonderful passage that we have before us. Let's see lastly that Jesus is not only ready the world and ready to heal, not only is he willing to heal, but let us see that Jesus Christ is able to heal the leper. Christ's perfect priesthood. Look at the weakness that we noted in Leviticus 13 and 14 of a worldly, earthly priest. The priest can only examine the leprosy, but he could never remove it. The priest can only look at the leprosy, but he could never touch it. The priest could only discover the disease and tell you if it was gone or not. He couldn't do anything about it. I think it's a beautiful testimony today with the great superiority of Jesus Christ as we see that probing eye of the priest in Leviticus 13 as he scans around over every inch of skin from head to toe, looking and measuring and making a final judgment on how the disease appears to the naked eye. Might be right, he might be wrong. Hey, maybe he missed a spot. Aren't you glad we don't have a priest like that anymore? It's interesting to me that the priest really probably knows nothing at all about leprosy. He doesn't know how to cure it. He only knows how to look at it. Our great priest, Jesus Christ, knows a lot more about our sin and our trials and our troubles than how to simply look at it. He does something about it. He owns it and he uses it for his glory and our good today. How much greater is Jesus Christ our Lord than any earthly priest? How grateful we are today that Jesus doesn't simply look at our sins. He touches them. He takes them to himself and he atones for them. What a beautiful truth. For the priest who examines every surface of the skin in search of whatever is unclean, our Lord Jesus Christ performs his priestly duties with infinitely better results. Searching all throughout our souls with perfect precision and vision, Christ our heavenly priest not only sees with perfection, know today and be encouraged, child of God, that he purifies with perfection. He purifies with perfection. The Old Testament priest could only look, but he couldn't do anything. Christ in his priestly duties not only sees, but he makes clean. Interesting, verse 44 thrown into the mix today as we're scratching the surface of this passage. What does he say? Jesus says, "But go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." And what's he talking about? He's talking about Leviticus 13 and 14. Go to the priest and show him. Show him that I'm the reason that Leviticus and 13 and 14 were written, because I wrote them. I'm the one who fulfills this passage. And you go show them that I'm here. What a wonderful truth. We see then that coming to see, I like Symington's very brief statement. He says that Christ sits as a priest upon the throne. That you can't separate the priesthood of Christ from his mediatorial kingship. You can't separate them. They're together. He holds these offices together. And so for our purposes today, for encouragement to you, I want you to see that the extent of the kingdom of Christ is important for our lives today. It's important for you to see that everything that happens to you on a daily basis, no matter what it is, no matter what trial it is, it's involved and connected to the mediatorial kingship of Jesus Christ. Christ rules over the man in our passage. He rules over the trial. He rules over the disease. He rules over the world. And so then for us today, we would say that there's no trial or trouble that is unknown to Christ. Nothing is beyond his power. In fact, it's just all part of his preparation. It's all part of him readying the world for the redemption of his people. It's all included. Christ rules over the disease. I want to conclude with a quote from Horatius Benar on this the sickness of leprosy. A beautiful statement. I like the way he says it. He says, "It's hard to persuade men that this is really the case, that the Son of God has to do with lepers still, that he is the physician for the worst of diseases, and that as he asks no reward for the cure, so he asks no preparation nor qualification for the diseased one. With our whole leprosy we come. He takes our case in hand. He touches and heals. There is no case of evil too hard for him, no human leprosy too incurable for his skill, no human leper so repulsive as to make him shrink back. Jordan did not flee from the touch of the Syrian leper, but bade him welcome when he came to its waters. So Jesus turns not away from the most loathsome specimen of diseased humanity that ever presented itself to his gaze or touch. Can we come to Christ and be too sinful for Him to touch us? I'm thankful today that we can't. No matter how sinful we are, no matter our past, no matter who we are, when we come to Christ, He touches and cleanses and makes us whole. No other priest could ever do such a thing, but Jesus Christ can today. And a couple of quick applications of that. I want you to see, as we close, that all the trials in our life, all the trouble, all of the sickness, all of the leprosy, if you will, it serves to drive us to Christ because it's under His control. That's by design. It's on purpose. It's wonderful, is what it is. That Jesus is so in control that there's nothing random. There's nothing that happens to us by chance. I want to say today that, and make a bold suggestion to you, that leprosy is actually a blessing from God. Can we see that today? That our trials, that our sufferings, whatever it is that comes into our life that brings us tears, whatever it may be that seems to keep us from God is actually driving us to Him. What a wonderful thing. Can we imply today that a festering and filthy disease is actually a mysterious gift from our loving God? I think the man would agree with that. We don't know his name. I think he'd agree, wouldn't you? Do you think he'd agree that it was a gift? That it brought him to Jesus? We, today, as God's people, should be thankful that we, over all people in the world today, we know why these dark things exist in the world. We know the purpose of leprosy. We know what it does. We know what it represents. We see the spiritual application of it. How do we know that? Are we just born with that knowledge? We know it because we went to His Word. It was given to us. His Spirit indwells us, and we can read it and see today that there's a purpose for leprosy. We see that in our passage today. God's people can read the Word of God and know why things happen in the world. It's amazing. It really is. It's all right there in the means of grace. Let's go to the means of grace and use them and see why the world is in the state that it is, and see the great mediatorial kingship of Christ. We, above all people, understand the shrouded meaning behind something so ugly as leprosy. Now, in one sense, as I stated at the beginning, I mean, I've never met anyone with leprosy. And you might have, I don't know, but the point being from the passage today is, yes, we have. Yes, we have. We've met people with leprosy, haven't we? We make that spiritual application because all of us, in our natural states, we are unclean. We are terrible in appearance. We are suffering without Christ. We know leprosy. That's the point of the passage, is we know it. We never even met the man, but we know leprosy intimately. Only with Christ's touch can we be healed. So don't miss the teaching here in the passage as you hear about a man who was healed 2,000 years ago, a man you'll never meet, of a disease maybe you'll never see, and a story that perhaps you've read a dozen times. What I want you to see today is that the story is for you. It is to show you how desperate that you are on your own, how leprous your soul is without that touch, and how much you need that touch. And if you don't have that touch, then you are a leper before God. And see, the passage is drawn us so beautifully to see that there's only one person who can touch you. There's only one mediatorial king. There's only one who can conquer and use your sin to redeem you. There's only one who can show you the purpose of it. There's only one who's taken that sin upon Himself. And so to all those who are lepers in our souls, let us flee to Christ and let us find Him. Let it make it so that we long for that touch of Christ. And let's find in the leper the spiritual lesson that God intended for us to see. That without the healing touch of Christ, we are all lost and wandering, filthy lepers with no hope of deliverance from our wounds. But even worse is the fact that our souls are more diseased than the leper in our passage. Let's give thanks to the God of our salvation, how He has delivered us this day through the blessed work of Jesus Christ. Through His touch, we have been delivered from that leprosy. Let's be thankful today for Christ's mediatorial kingship, that it isn't just limited to the church or to the people in the church, that it expands to all the creation, and that today when this man is touched by Christ, that's His mediatorial kingship at work. And whenever you are touched by the great mediator, that's His mediatorial kingship at work as well. And let us be thankful then, finally, that Christ was ready, that He was willing, and that He was able to secure the salvation of His people. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful this morning that You have shed light upon our path to show us our great sin, to show us our great need of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that You have driven us to Christ today through perhaps our trials, through perhaps some dark moment, but that we are never lost from Your blessed hand of providence and perfection, protection from all things. Father, we pray that You would help us to look long and hard at the leper today, that we would not look away, and that in his wounds we pray that we would see our sin. We pray that we would see the filthiness of our souls apart from the work of Jesus Christ. May we ever be driven closer and closer to Him, our great mediatorial King, our only hope. In His name we pray today. Amen.